Good evening, everyone. This is Das Tefillah number 40. We still haven't gotten that far in the Sefer, but Baruch Hashem, there's a lot to talk about with each little section here. Okay, so what we talked about last time, we're taking a little bit of a detour from Tefillah to talk really about the Avos and the role that the Avos played, or the role that really any of us can play, at least in a very small way, and the way that the role that the Avos played in a bigger way. And that was to be a Merkava for the Shechina. To be a Merkava, to be a chariot for the Shechina. It's based on an idea from the beginning of Sefer Yechezkel, where Yechezkel sees a vision of a chariot and on top some sort of a rider. Now, Rashi tells us not to think too much about what that rider represents as a physical form, but it's supposed to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stand, so to speak, on the ground. He rides on top of the chariot, which means that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu willed it, there is something that is separating between him and the ground. He's not walking on the earth. He's not mitalech bagan, so to speak. He is on top of a chariot. The chariot is what allows him to touch the ground. What is that chariot? So as we discussed last time, the chariot really is all of us. Is all of us. We have to play a role in bringing God into the world, in representing God in the world, in showing the world a little bit about what God is himself. And we spoke about that concept. Gilui Shechina. Gilui Shechina is the revelation of God in this world. But very often he asks, or he willed, I guess is a better way, that others should do that revelation for him rather than him doing the revealing himself. And that's what we're going to discuss this week and talk about the role of the Avos. Makor hachiyav batorah. Al kol echad. See, this is not just about suddenly the Avos. The source in the Torah for every one of us, lihios cholech bederech zu shela Avos. Every one of us is supposed to walk in this way of the Avos. Vilihios na'eh mekayem. Na'eh mekayem. Remember the story that we told last week from the Gemara in Chagiga, where Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was told by his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was telling over the Maisa Merkava. He was telling the secrets of the Maisa Merkava. And the Rebbe said about him, wow, you're a good darshan, you're a good teacher, but you're also good at representing, at being what you said. Being what you said, doing what you said. You fulfill your words. So he said, when it comes to, if someone's giving a shir on chesed, I can understand. You could say about the darshan, he gives a good shir, but he also is a good role model in terms of chesed. So he's not echad bepeh, you know, and something else balev. But what does it mean when you're talking about the maaseh merkava, when you're talking about the way that God relates to the world, the way that God interacts with the world? What does that mean when a person is na'eh mekayem? They're good at acting it out too. So what he explained was that's when we act in a godly fashion and we bring his presence into the world. So the source of the obligation for every one of us, this is not just the Avos who revealed things about God. Every one of us has an obligation, hu bepasuk acharei Hashem Elokim telech, telchu, that you're supposed to walk in the ways of God. V'chi efshar lo, the Gemara says, of course, can a person really walk in the ways? Can you walk right behind the Shechina? Doesn't it say, ki Hashem Elokecha eish ochlahu? You can't really walk right. You can't walk right behind the Ribono Shel Olam. What does it mean to walk in his footsteps? If you get too close, like Nadav and Avihu, you'll end up getting burned. Not supposed to actually get close to God. We're supposed to walk in his ways, in his footsteps, after his midos. V'chein darshu chazal, ze keliv ha'anvehu, heve domalo. Right? When it says ze keliv ha'anvehu, I know it looks funny in the source sheet here, but ze keliv ha'anvehu, this is my God and I will glorify him. Chazal understood, anvehu means ani vehu. I try to be like him. Mahu chanun v'rachum, avata chanun v'rachum. Just like he is merciful, so too you are supposed to be merciful. So every single one of us has an obligation to act like God. Now we know a lot of people who think they're God. It doesn't mean you're supposed to think you're God. It means you're supposed to take after his good characteristics. You're supposed to display those characteristics down here. Tachlis milas ha'adam. This is what only we could do. This is the ultimate that we can do in the world, according to the Rambam. Tachlis malas ha'adam ha'hidamut. Is hidamut, is trying to make ourselves as godlike as possible, to follow in his ways, to follow his midos. Ha'hidamut bo yisparach kefi ha'yecholet. To the extent that we can, we're created as physical beings. There are a lot of ways that we can never be like God. But we have to make ourselves as godlike as possible. Kolomar shindidme pe'ulotenu befe'ulotav. We're supposed to make our actions like his actions. We're supposed to follow in his footsteps, follow in his ways. Kemoshim biaru beferush kadoshim tiyu. As it says in the words, what does it mean, says the Rambam, when it says, you shall be holy? How are we supposed to be holy? Ve'amru mahu chanun, etc. And so says the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. Okay? Now, it's interesting. There are several reasons why we would want to be like God. Why we would want to imitate in God's ways. So on one level, we could say that God serves as a role model for us. In other words, the goal is to be a good person. God displays good midos, so we should follow in his ways. What's the goal? To be good people. He gives us the blueprint. That's, I guess, normally the way we think of doing the mitzvahs in the Torah. We're supposed to be as refined and as good as we could be. How do we know what to do? We look at the Torah. The Torah consists not just of mitzvot, but of descriptions of the way not only our avot acted, but the way God acted to them, the way God acts to the Jewish people. So we're supposed to use that as a blueprint for how to be the best possible people. But when we speak of a merkava l'shechina, we're talking about something more. We're talking about the possibility that when I act in a certain way, I bring the Shechina down here. When I act in a way that's merciful, I bring the merciful nature of God down here. I display that. I'm able, God wants himself to be revealed here. What is God? We don't know, but we know he's merciful. When I act in a merciful way, I give people a view of God. I bring God into this world because God is synonymous with mercy and with chesed. And when I do those things, not only am I helping out myself, not only am I getting a better score in Shemayim, not only am I becoming a better person, but I am actually reflecting what God is in the world and I'm allowing him to be seen. I'm allowing him to be seen. He haderech, this is what Avram Avinu told his children that they're supposed to do. And now he starts quoting the Rambam from elsewhere, from the Rambam from the Mishnah Torah. This is why the Nevi'im from Moshe Rabbeinu down described God in certain character traits. Erech Hapayim, V'rav Chesed, Tzadik V'yashar, Tamim, Gibor, V'chazak V'chayotzi V'hen. Why is there so much of a description of God who can't really be described? Shouldn't the Torah just stay away from any adjectives to describe God? Lehodia shehein drachim tovim v'yesharim, that a person should know that these are good things and good ways to go. V'chayav adam lahanhig atzmo behen. A person has to follow, has to make those his actions. Ulehidamot elav lefi kocho, and to try to copy them as much as he can. Just a couple of degrees. Ulefi shehashemot halalu nikra behem hayotzer, nikret derech zu, derech Hashem. This is a phrase we don't actually use very often. But because these are characteristics of God, a person who acts in a way with good midos is said to be going b'derech Hashem. Derech Hashem. V'hu shelimed Avram Avinu levanav. And this is what Avram Avinu told his children to do. To learn about God, to understand the way God relates to us, and then to copy that. Ki yedativ. He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, I love you, I'm invested in you. Why? Because I know, Laman asher yetzaveh et banav et beito acharav, because you will command your sons and your home afterwards, v'shamru derech Hashem, to keep the derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah mishpat. It is more than anything the midos that Avram Avinu is passing down to his children, which is very, very interesting, because of course midos have been lost. The striving for good midos has been lost very much in our world in exchange for dikduk b'mitzvot, trying to make sure to get every single mitzvah correct. Many, many of the midos, however, are talking about things that are ben adam achavero. If you look at this, if you look at this pasuk the way the Rambam is understanding it, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avram is, you are the man. You are the one I am choosing to be the father of this
people, because
you will teach your children to copy my midos tovos. You will teach your children to behave a certain way with their fellow man. Very interesting on many levels. First of all, this Rambam, this Pasuk, and this Rambam is very important in another way, because it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avraham that the reason why he was chosen to be the father of our people was because of his ability as a parent to pass down the Masorah to his children. It's a very interesting thing. Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz, of blessed memory, has an interesting essay where he talks about the fact that there were certainly other monotheists besides Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, at the end of the war with Sodom, comes in contact with Malki Tzedek, Kohen Lemelech Elyon. Malki Tzedek, he comes in contact with some sign of a character, and he is a Kohen to God. It seems that there were other people. It seems that Shem, right? When was the Yeshivat Shem Va'Ever, the famous yeshiva that Yaakov supposedly learned in? Shem Va'Ever precede Avram Avinu. So what does it mean that Avram Avinu was the one who founded monotheism? Rabbi Steinsaltz argues that Avram's greatness was not that he founded monotheism. It may be, based on some of the stories in the Midrash, that Avram Avinu found God on his own, and only then came in contact with other monotheists. But Avram Avinu did not create monotheism. God created monotheism. Adam HaRishon was a monotheist. Noach knew there was only one God. Shem, Aver, there were many people who knew there was one God. Why
was Avram chosen
as the father of our people? The pasuk says, Ki yedativ l'man asher yitzaveh es bonav es beso, because Avram was the best father that was ever a monotheist. And what's interesting is it's not simply that Avram was chosen because of his ability to pass along the Masorah, but specifically he's chosen to pass along the Masorah to Banav and Beito. And this is especially fascinating because the Rambam himself, in his description of how Avodah Zarah started and how the world developed, talked about the Rambam as the master outreach professional. The Rambam claims that there were tens of thousands. It's hard to know where he gets this claim from. The Rambam claims in the beginning of the laws of Avodah Zarah, in the Mishnah Torah, which is a halachic work, that the Rambam had a, that Avram had a massive amount of followers. And yet we know we don't hear anything from any of them ever again. From all of his massive outreach work, there was one person who took the Masorah forward, and that was his own son, which is a powerful message that I share with Mechanchim, that they could be out there all day long teaching, but it's more important, it's sometimes more difficult, but it's more important to figure out how to try to keep your children in the way. As I said, it can be more difficult. It can be more difficult. But the but Avram is chosen not because of his, not because of his thought, not because of his religious devotion, not because of his outreach abilities, but ki yadativ l'man asher yitzava es bonav ve'es beso. And what is he going to teach them? To be mentioned, to follow the derech Hashem lasot tzedakah u'mishpat. Again, this is easy to say, but it's so different in the way that most of us think of the way the Masorah is passed and what is really important. That's what he says. V'aholech b'derech zu mevitova u'bracha la'atzmo shenemar l'man hevi Hashem al Avram es asher diber alav. And a person who does this, who follows in the ways of Hashem, who follows his midos, who follows the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with people, his ben adam l'chaveiro, such a person will be rewarded with all good things. Bekach, ha'adam mashlim tzelem elokim shebo. And by doing this, we fill out our tzelem elokim. Because a person is created. What does it mean that a person is created b'tzelem elokim? Kefi shemavar haramak. Who's the Ramak? Rav Moshe Cordovero, okay, one of the great Kabbalists. Kefisha Mavar HaRamak. Ha'adam ra'ui sheyit damelekono. We have to try to be as close as possible. We have to try to imitate God. Fa'az yihyeh besod hatsura ha'elyona tzelem udmus. And then we'll be at the core of what it means to be in the image of God. She'ilu yidmeh begufo v'lo befu'ulotav. If we just look like God in our bodies, that's a little bit of a strange statement. But to some extent, the way our bodies have created also says something about the heavens. Also says something about the Ribbono Shel Olam. He obviously has no body. But somehow our body reflects different aspects of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates, interacts with the world. We've spoken before about the spheros. The spheros detail somehow the way that a non-physical God deals with a physical, interacts with a physical world. And in some of the diagrams of the spheros, those spheros are overlaid over a human body. The human body itself is created in such a way, just like the spheros have two things on the side and then the middle, two things on the side and the middle. The human body, it's obviously more than one shear in and of itself, is designed in such a way that it reflects something about the way God relates to the world. But, says the Ramak, it's not enough just to have a body that happens to physically reflect the way God relates to the world. Because if a person looks like God, you don't look like God, but your body is a representation of the way your body is constructed is a representation of the way God relates to the world. But ilu she'ilu yidme begufo v'lo bepu'ulotav, if the only way I imitate God is in the physical makeup of my body, Harehu machziv hatzura. I'm creating a false impression. V'yomu alav tzura na'eh u'ma'asim ki'urim. And it will be said about me, well, your physical body is very nice because it says something about the secrets of the heavens. But your actions? Not, that doesn't say anything about the heavens, anything about God. Shaharei ikar hatzelam v'hadmus ha'elyon hein pe'ulo tav. The main way that we can imitate God, the main way we can understand God, is not through any physical representation, but through actions of a certain type. Umayo illo heyoto ketsuraha elyona demut tavnit evarav. What's the point? If our body, the way our body is shaped, somehow represents deep Kabbalistic ideas about the world, ubepeulotav lo yitdame lekono. And yet then our actions don't say anything. They don't represent the actions of God. Lefikach ra'ui sheyidme el peulotav, vehein yud gimel midos sharachem milyonos. And that ties into the yud gimel midos harachemim. The Tomer Devora, the book of the Ramak, goes through each of those Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. It's a very fascinating sefer to go through from Rav Moshe Kor Devora. Whoa! What does this mean? This means that, first of all, our bodies, even in a physical way, are a manifestation of God. That's a very interesting way of understanding that we're created B'Tzelem Elokim. Right. The Rambam says Tzelem Elokim means we have a seichel, we have intelligence, just like God has intelligence. But Rav Moshe Kor Devora says from a Kabbalistic sense that our bodies are actually pictures of the spheros, which is, I find, a very inspiring and scary thing. That just walking around or wherever I am, or if I'm in the shower, I am a physical manifestation of God and the way he relates to the world. It certainly challenges us to function at a very high and holy level. But it's not just our bodies. Even more than our bodies, it's our actions. It's not just that we're playing this big game of do the most mitzvos you can. It's not just about us. And about whether or not we're going to get Olam Haba. And when we decide to do an Aveira, it's not just that we say, well, you know, listen, I have a lot of Olam Haba coming. I'll get a little more Olam Hazeh, and I'll get a little less Olam Haba. It's not just about that. It's not even about the fact that we have a relationship with God. And that when we sin, we're really we're ruining that relationship. We're putting blocks between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's more than that. We are supposed to be a manifestation of God down here. God wants to dwell betachtonim. God wants to be apparent down here. And for some reason, he left it to us to do that. He can do anything he wants. We don't understand why he wanted to be revealed down here. We don't understand why, if he wanted to be revealed down here, he didn't just do it himself. But he said, no, I'm going to give people, specifically the Jewish people, to lead the way, the ability to either make me apparent, to bring godliness, and here I'm defining godliness as the midos of Hashem, kindness, caring, being forgiving. That's godliness. Those things could either become apparent down here, God could either be seen down here through that, or we could make poor God frustrated that he can only be up there. And the crazy thing is that he gave us our lives only so that we could do this. He created the whole world, he created us, only so that there could be somehow a revelation of God in a physical way down here. And yet we miss countless opportunities every day to do exactly what we're created for, to try to act like God, to try to be God, to try to bring godliness down here. Et mahuto shel zeh shehu merkava l'shchina mita'er lanu harav Dessler Zatzal. We'll end with this. The essence of a person who's trying to be, who recognizes the truth, and is trying to be a merkava l'shchina, who recognizes that through them, God could either be revealed, or he could be frustrated. His purpose for the world could be frustrated because we're representing something different than God down here, is explained beautifully by Rav Dessler, who wrote the Michtam Eliyahu. V'yesh bazeh dvar mamukim ma'od, very deep ideas. We don't really know what we're saying. Aval hama'at shenitan lanu lahavinu, but the little bit we can understand, she'avos ha'kadoshim alav ha'shalom, zochu ledabek kol da'atam. What did the avos, why are the avos different than us? When I do an act of kindness, I bring a little more godliness in the world. God is seen in the world because God is kindness. So what are the avos? The avos, zochu ledabe kol da'atam, libam, v'havayatam, b'bori yisparach, b'lishum hefse klal. Because I have like these highlight, you know, my day, at the end of the day when I go to sleep, and go back up to Shemayim. So they're looking through Penner's day, and they have like blah, 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 blah. Ooh, that was nice. Blah, blah, blah. Let's not talk about that. Blah, 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 blah. Ooh, that was nice. But in other words, I have like moments where I'm holding in this space where I remember what I'm here for, and a lot of time where I'm just doing life. The Avos were a walking Merkava. The Chol Metziusa Chaisa Mesur Lashem. Every essence, they understood in a real way, every second, whatever they were doing, they were somehow reflecting divinity in the world. Ad bli lahashir makom la'atzmi usam. They had no sense of self in that way. It was all, everything. They understood that they were just a kli. They were just a reflection of the divine if they would allow that to shine through. Kol machshav oseyam u'maseyam hayurach v'rak l'avodas Hashem Yisbarach ad shebechol diburam v'bechol tenusam, every step, af be'inyonim shenirim la'ayin be'iskei olam hazeh. The avos lived regular lives, it looks like. They made a parnasa. They had a family. They were involved in family issues. They were involved in politics. They were involved in all these things. But Chaisa Mizgale Kedusha Hashem Yisbarach V'Hashras Shchinasa. They were so, they had such a reflection of what it meant to be God, that whatever it is that they were doing, they understood that they were somehow there to reflect God. Ad Shehu Yisbarach Yiched Shemo Aleihem. And that's why God attached his name to them, as the Pasuk says, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. When we say that he was the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it's not saying that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov happened to worship him. It's saying that he's willing to be called Elokei Avraham. That's very different, right? If you're God, you'd probably not like any human being's name to be part of your name. You're above and beyond that. But God describes himself. His name is Elokei Avraham. That's what it means. When we say in the Shemona Esrei, he's Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, it doesn't mean that you're the God who they worship. It means that you're willing to define yourself by them. Why? Because their lives were simply a reflection of you into this world. And I'll add one thing to the beautiful words of the Michtam Eliyahu. What God wanted was for his presence to be reflected in the most mundane of things. It's not that the Avos were worshiping God and they reflected his presence. And you know, once in a while, you got to leave shul. Once in a while, you got to leave the Beis Medrash. You got to care for your life. So they were such gedolim that even when they were caring for their regular deeds, they also had him in mind all the time. No, think about it. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be revealed down here? You see, we differentiate between the time that I'm in shul and the time that I'm eating lunch. The time that I'm at a barbecue and I'm eating like a geschmack hot dog, like with the relish and all that, I'm like really doing Olam HaZeh, right? So I have my high moments and I have my low moments. Let's say that's my low moment, halavai. My low moment is eating a hot dog at a barbecue. And I'm also in the Beis Medrash. I'm also at Ne'ilah. Oh, that's when I'm like a malach. Right? the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and me at Ne'ila is infinitely greater than when I'm at Ne'ila and when I'm at the barbecue. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants his essence to be reflected in this world, for some reason his desire, if you can have such a word, was that godliness should be found amongst physical things. Amongst, in the physical world, he should be reflected. In the place that's almost the opposite of him, the place that you would think he can't be there, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be revealed. So on the one hand, it's wonderful, so to speak, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very happy, so to speak, when we are thinking of him at Ne'ila. But how much more powerful, what a greater reflection of him when we're thinking of him when we're carrying out our daily needs. That's the ultimate of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I wish for some reason to be down there, all the way down there. I can't go there, so to speak. I'm not going to reflect my Kedusha. I'm not going to be there in the bathroom. But I want my Kedusha to be reflected even in the bathroom. You go to the bathroom and you bring me there. You reflect me even there. You show that there is no place in the world and no thing in the world that is devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only we can, so to speak, go on this mission. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he could have, but for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I stop here, and now I want you to go down into that world, and I want you to reflect me down there. What an incredible opportunity we have. I heard a beautiful vort, I'll end with this, from my son's Rebbe on Purim. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is hidden in the Megillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden in the Megillah. Where in the Megillah is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu hidden? Everywhere. He's behind everything that happens in Megillah Esther. But particularly, where is the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hinge, where you could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu right behind what's going on? It's the word HaMelech. Right? HaMelech appears countless times in the Megillah. And every time you see HaMelech, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like just behind there. Which Melech? HaMelech is the Melech. So he asked an interesting question that I think is a question. The answer is certainly cool. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to find a little bit of a hiding place in the Megillah. He can't find a hiding place in Esther or in Mordechai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put on a disguise. He's going to go down into the Megillah and he's going to hide somewhere in the Megillah. He's going to hide in Achashverosh. Achashverosh is bum. Achashverosh is a boor. Achashverosh is the lowest of the low. Achashverosh, the things that he does, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to be found in the Megillah. And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found in the lowest of the low. That's the whole chap. The whole chap of the Megillah is that it's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found in a physical, even that's a chiddush. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found in a physical based medrash. How could that be? It's physical. But no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can even be found in the bar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found wherever it is. If it exists down here in a physical form, it exists so that somehow we can reveal the godliness even there at that point and in that place. And the lower down it is, the greater achievement that I've done. That doesn't mean you should spend all day hanging out in the bar instead of the Beis Medrash. But it means that if you spend enough time in the Beis Medrash, you might be ready to find a little bit of holiness even in the bar. And then you may be ready to go there as well. This is what the Avos were. And when we understand that, we'll understand the depths of what it means that they created these three tefillos. Sorry I went a little long tonight, but it's a mind-blowing idea in this particular section. Okay, have a good night, everybody. We'll see you Mitzvah Shem next week.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.